Military Mondays with David Katz.
David Katz, very good morning. How are you? How's lockdown treating you?
Good morning, Howard.
Yes, so how's lockdown?
Well, I'm quite enjoying it, I must say. Not to be flippant or anything like that, but I'm hell of a productive. I mean, I've sat down, I've written a hell of a lot, I've read a hell of a lot. Opened up Dostoevsky. I've been.
Oh, rubbish!
Promising.
You're reading Dostoevsky now. You're reading Dostoevsky.
Crime and Punishment. I've been meaning to read that book for 50 years. I decided, right, this is it. So I'm on chapter 5, and I'm loving it. I can't put it down.
Right.
So
yeah, I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite books. I didn't wait for lockdown. I did read it, and I do love it. But it's interesting because there's almost this kind of tacit competition. Around, here we go. In fact, Lindy messaged me earlier. She says, this is a pandemic. It's not a productivity contest.
Well, I mean, what do you do? What are the alternatives? I mean, we can sit home and mope and be depressed about this whole thing.
Netflix.
Or actually do something. It's an opportunity to do something we've always wanted to do or do something we've never done before. So I'm using that opportunity.
If he's going to start getting me to do yoga, your yoga business, I'm not doing
it. I wouldn't go as far as yoga.
Okay, thank you.
Let's leave that there. No.
Right.
But read that book. Read that book that you've always wanted to, you know?
100%. Zanati, what are you? Yeah. Oh, Zanati, you're watching movies. You watched Prince of Egypt today. You're watching Joseph and the Amazing
Kitchen. I'm doing a bit of both. I'm also reading. So, I'm keeping a nice balance.
That's good. So, David, you actually sound like you're in a very good space. genuinely.
I must say, not in as good a space as you are, because I watched your medical podcast yesterday. And if you know me and you know how I value my library and the shelfies, they call them shelfies that I send out and boast to everybody what my library looks like. I mean, yes. I took a look at your library yesterday and I had a tinge of absolute jealousy when I saw the extent of it. I mean, double volume and the whole thing.
Yeah, there's four or five stories. It's brilliant. Absolutely.
Incredible.
Yes. Linda says, well, I was going to say you're strangely playing a lot of love songs, but then you played yourself, then you saved yourself with the truck song. So there we go. I did. Thank you.
You were getting a bit too soft.
Yeah, exactly. I was getting all sentimental. All right. So, David, let's just talk about a number of things. The one thing that you wanted to mention was this bloke in the USA, this captain, the captain of the U.S. aircraft carrier.
Yes, a gent called Captain Brett Kosier. And just to put it in perspective, he's the captain of a aircraft carrier called the USS Theodore Roosevelt. This is a massive ship of 104,000 tons. I don't know if you can quite put that into perspective. It's a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. It costs 4.5. Well, when it was built, which was about a decade ago, it cost 4.5 billion. Which is about 80 billion rand, which is about twice our gross national product, most probably. It's got a complement of 5,500 people on board. So he's in charge of a small city with a nuclear power plant. And it also houses 90 aircraft, the most sophisticated aircraft. And it's probably just the carrier itself. It's most probably the third largest air force in the world. I mean, you can imagine the destructive power, of the ship. And, what happened on the ship, which is quite interesting because this could be a case study now for strategists and those at military colleges, is that some people on board contracted coronavirus, and the captain, who's now hailed in the media as an absolute hero, wrote a letter very concerned about the state of the personnel on his ship, wrote a letter which got out into the media, and he was relieved of his command. So the question is whether this is fair or whether this is he a hero or is he actually the anti-hero? So it's interesting how the media has put a spin on this to build him up into something perhaps that he's not. I mean, I have a different view on this whole thing.
So give us your view on it.
Okay, well, I think there's a problem. I understand his motivation and I understand his concern. But the reason why I gave you all that background as to what he's commanding, I mean, this guy's in charge of a massive strategic asset. And you can imagine if somebody wanted to have some type of a nefarious impact on something in the United States, how vulnerable these aircraft carriers are. And certainly their status and how they operate shouldn't be in the public domain. So did he act reasonably. I mean, there's something in the military that we call the chain of command, where you report to your problem to the next higher level, and you go through the chain of command. Once you've been through all the different higher levels, you've escalated it through, then it's excusable for you to act on your own volition or maybe go to the press or something like that. Maybe, even then it's not acceptable, considering what this gentleman was commanding. So what happened is he sent out this email to, I think, 24 different parties, and it got into the media, and this whole thing was blown up in the media at the end of the day. So was he right to take this route, or should he just have stuck it out and gone through the chain of command, knowing how sensitive the situation is with this type of asset?
Mm. So I have to tell you that my view is that you fire the hell out of the guy.
Yeah, I like your viewpoint. I think you're 100% right, because I think it's poor judgment. I agree with you 100%. It's poor judgment from a number of point of views. Let's just look at about the families of the people who are aboard the ship, receiving news about the status of the ship through the press. I mean, that can't be right. That absolutely cannot be right.
And I'll tell you, the other thing is David, is that I think that there's a bigger picture at play that he's not actually fully appraised of, or might not be in a position to look at. And that is a picture that stretches right across the United States and maybe even globally. It isn't simply just what's going on his ship. And to some extent, all he's looking at, even though it's a huge thing, he's in charge of, it's got major ramifications beyond his command.
Absolutely, he's commanding at the strategic level, so he needs to think strategically. And I think what is revealing is what was said about his action by the man who fired him. I just can't remember his name. He said he allowed the complexity of the problem to overwhelm his ability to act professionally. When acting professionally was the key, and I 100% agree with that. Besides him breaking the chain of command, and beside him sending a memo over an unsecured system, I think he has something to answer for. So although I understand his sentiment, but he seemed to have been, even the way what he wrote, he seemed to have been playing to the audience, because there's some pretty emotive stuff in that memo that goes beyond what we'd expect in a military memo to have been sent out. Things like, however, we are not at war, and therefore cannot allow a single sailor to perish as a result of this pandemic unnecessarily. So he's sort of playing to an audience by the looks of it. So I agree. Yeah, somebody like that should be fired. But as I say, very, very interesting, and most probably could form a great case study in military academies across the world.
Yeah, Cliffy says totally unacceptable in the military and navy. I mean, that's my view on it. And I think actually to the point is that it's actually very dangerous, and it's problematic for the people under his command. So what is likely to happen to him?
I'm not sure. He certainly lost his command. Whether he regains it or not is open to question. I don't believe that. But he's obviously a well-recommended person who's been around the block many, many times. So I don't know if they're going to get rid of him totally. But he's got a great future, like everybody else who's controversial. He's got a great future in politics. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him standing on one of those Democratic tickets in the next couple of years from the presidency.
CNN, next stop CNN. All right, and tell us, let's just talk a little bit about how the SANDF is doing. What's your thoughts on this? How are we? It got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but then it seems to have quietened down since then.
Yeah, I think it did go off into a bumpy start. We discussed this last week about the difficulty of maintaining law and order and the lockdown rules in circumstances that are just absolutely untenable out there in the townships and many, many other areas. And I think they are doing a reasonable job. I don't 100% trust our COVID-19 figures that are coming out, but if they are true, then obviously the lockdown is working, and the SANDF is part of the lockdown, so all kudos to them for being able to enforce this type of thing. I think the real tests are still coming. Howard, I think we're still at the beginning of this whole thing. the storm is coming in the next couple of weeks, unfortunately, and then we're going to see them playing
a bigger role. Sorry, you're not talking about the storm in terms of the numbers. You're saying in terms of public adherence.
Well, I think there's a very good chance that this lockdown is going to be extended. And once it is extended, I don't know for what type of period we're looking at. I've heard anything from 1 week to 2 months.
Right.
It's just an horrendous thought. And obviously, people are going to become more and more frustrated. And lawlessness is going to go up.
Yeah, especially if you keep those liquor stores closed, Dutty.
Keep those liquor stores closed. Yeah. And have a look at that. Look at our crime figures that have just absolutely plummeted. So what's the answer to South Africa's crime? Just stay at home. Then there's no crime. So those figures are plummeting. And I don't think SANDF can take any credit for that.
No.
That's obviously just the liquor stores being closed. They're helping us out over there.
And the fact that people are off the streets.
Absolutely. What worries me, I'll tell you what worries me, is the media once again. And that's why I brought up this whole Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier business, is that the media, you know, jump into these things, put a huge spin on it just to go and sell their papers. So now we have something brewing here with the SANDF during lockdown. We've got reports coming through of dogs shot by the SANDF, citizens humiliated. We alluded to that last time about the whole
SANDF
exercise program.
Can I submit?
So far, I've seen two media reports about dogs being two dogs being shot.
No, I just want one. Just want one.
Leave Fred alone. Leave Fred out of this, please.
It's one.
Oh, you know about Fred. Okay, so I'm not bringing you any news yet.
What?
I'm not bringing you any news. You know about Fred.
Who's Fred? I think we're talking about two different
Fred. Fred is Howard's dog.
My dog, Fred.
Oh, your dog, Fred.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we could maybe submit names to the SANDF.
No. We're talking past each other.
Okay, obviously. Yes. All right. So you tell me your part of the story.
Okay, let me tell you my part of the story. So allegedly, a couple of dogs shot over the last couple of months. One of the dogs that was shot happened back in September, and it's being reported as a current event. So there was a bit of a misunderstanding. Another one that was shot a couple of days ago, it's not clear is whether it was a security company who shot it or not. But this hasn't stopped social media or the media getting involved in denigrating what the SANDF does. And what's more worrying to me is some of the political parties, I'm not going to name them, I'm not going to be pushed into that little corner, have jumped onto the bandwagon and launched apps about, reporting this whole thing. I don't know if that's necessary at this stage of the game to sort of grandstand about this whole thing and launch applications where we can go and complain about, you know, the SANDF and its brutality. Not necessary at this stage of the game. There are channels to follow, and the SANDF is taking this whole situation pretty seriously by issuing media reports and also issuing reports about these incidents, saying that they don't tolerate them, they're not going to stand for them, and they're going to take strict disciplinary action to any transgression by the SANDF in this regard. And I believe them with that, because the SANDF has got a disciplinary code, and they will enforce it.
It's very dangerous. I mean, we've seen, and I don't know if you followed it, we spoke to Dina Diamond about it as well now. News 24 had reported that Bill Gates suggested testing vaccines on Africans, and of course social media went completely mad. It turned out that the story was completely false, but it did a tremendous amount of damage.
Doesn't surprise me.
It's becoming more and more problematic when you have a story that being reported as though it's current, but it happened in September. It creates the impression in people's mind that the SANDF is walking around shooting people's dogs, and it's so irresponsible.
And this is what we've even seen around the xenophobia issue.
Yes,
a few cases will be reported, and then all of a sudden you'll see these videos from like 10 years ago of even South Africans being burned, and then people obviously passing that off as foreigners being burned. It's, I don't know.
Deeply problematic. Very, very problematic. And the reality is, David, is that everything we've seen, even if you find this whole thing where they maybe made people do exercise because they broke the lockdown, whatever, really, we don't know brutality, if that's what's getting us hysterical. I don't need to tell you about behavior of other armies around the world and how they behave.
Look, Howard, I don't believe we should condone it. I mean, we made light of it.
Obviously, I don't want to condone it, but we also have to keep a little bit of perspective and not get hysterical about absolutely everything. It doesn't mean it's right, and it doesn't mean it shouldn't be dealt with, and it doesn't mean that it's acceptable. But there's a level of hysteria that we are seeing over every minute misdeed becomes ridiculous.
Well, this is the new normal. I mean, in the society that we live in the modern world, is that everybody is outraged, everybody is offended at some of the least offensive things.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that there's always a bunch of people that are going to be outraged, offended, feel threatened by these type of things when they shouldn't be.
And not even like, I feel like people just want them out of our hair.
Exactly.
That there's an agenda.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. There most certainly is no question about it.
Well, no, there's certainly that, I mean, obviously, it's there are certain elements in our society who don't want the SANDF roaming around the streets. Nobody wants to see a military deployed in a civilian situation. And I type of agree with that. When you see soldiers out there in force on the streets, you know that you've got a problem. But we have a problem. The point is that we have a very, very serious problem. Mm. And those people who feel that it's impinging on their freedom and walk around willy-nilly breaking the lockdown laws, I mean, these people are responsible for, first of all, for their own health, bringing their own health into jeopardy. But not only that, but they are responsible for spreading the pandemic and with the result that certain people could die or be maimed by this disease. So, I mean, when you walk around there and you disobey the lockdown laws, it's not a trifling matter. It's absolutely not a trifling matter. So, you know, watching a couple of guys rolling in the sand there with the SANDF on top of them, you're right. It's almost seems measured against the type of, and not, I'm not condoning it in the slightest, but it seems measured in the light of the seriousness of breaking a lockdown law.
Absolutely. Major David Katz, this is where we do have to leave it. It is 8:54. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. Thank you as always. Fascinating conversation.